The big news for New York State this week is that a tax plan that reduces a beloved tax deduction passed in the House, something that will inevitably result in losers, and in this case, a few winners. John Lentz, editor of City and State, joins us with the details. Who won this round, John?
Sure. We highlighted two Western New York congressmen in New York, Chris Collins and Tom Reed. Both of them, despite the controversy surrounding this federal tax plan, really wanted this to go through, and we'll have to wait and see if they reconcile it with the eventual Senate plan. But for now, they're winners.
And there were two other Republicans as well who voted yes, although I don't think that they were quite as enthusiastic, John Katko and Claudia Tenney. We also saw a victory for veterans this week.
That's right. The state's medical marijuana program, which when it rolled out was pretty restrictive. They've slowly been easing it up, and this week, the governor signed legislation that will extend it to people with PTSD. And so Senator Savino, Assemblyman Gottfried, that's something they had been pushing for. And that obviously will benefit a lot of veterans in New York.
Yeah. And there was also some unresolved races last week from last week's election. Those were resolved. At least one in Rensselaer County executive's race was resolved to the benefit of Steve McLaughlin.
That's right. And this was a race that actually got a lot of attention for some salty remarks from the assemblyman to one of his staffers.
I love that expression, salty remarks.
Right. And that's how I'm playing it. I mean, you can go to the Times Union. They did a lot of groundbreaking reporting on this to hear exactly what he said. But voters didn't seem to mind in the end. They voted him their county executive, so he's on our winner's list.
Let's go to the losers. There's only one upstate loser this week, but it's an unfortunate situation.
Sure, and again, the Times Union did some really strong reporting on this. The mayor of Coho is someone who actually had ran for the state legislature before. A really fishy situation, seemingly a domestic dispute. His wife had called, Sean Morris, his wife had called the police. He later denied it. It's been turned over to the state police. One notable detail, a friend of Morse's had actually, who's on the police force, came over and decided, surprise, not to arrest him. So we'll be paying attention to this in coming weeks.
Great. CityandStateNY.com. If you want to vote, John Lentz is the editor-in-chief. Thank you again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
There's quite the little fracas taking place between certain members of New York's congressional delegation and Governor Cuomo. Here to tell us what's what is Albany Times Union Capitol reporter Matt Hamilton. Great to see you.
Good to see you, Susan.
Are you from Coho's?
No, I'm not from Coho's.
Just checking. So what did the governor say that irked so many people like Chris Collins and Tom Reed?
So the governor on Long Island yesterday, after the House vote on the tax reform bill took place, he said that he had spoken with Republicans who planned to vote for the bill, and they had told him that they were facing pressure from their political leadership to vote for the bill, which he said was, you know, you don't work for your political leaders, you work for your constituents, and this is bad for your constituents. So he says that, and then Chris Collins, John Katko, Tom Reed, and Claudia Tenney, the four New York Republicans who voted in favor of the bill, promptly said, nope, we didn't say that. Tom Reed was the only one who said that he actually spoke with the governor, and that was back in October, and at no point did political leadership come up, according to Reed's office.
All right, so what are they saying about Governor Cuomo?
So, they're saying that he's a liar and that he, lies about this. What else does he lie about? You know, and then we get into the, you know, I think Claudia Tenney said something about, if I did talk to him, I would have told him that the tax breaks for movies are a bad idea. I mean, the normal political blustering.
There has not been a good relationship, I think it's fair to say, between the congressional Republicans and Governor Cuomo.
Well, in particular, Chris Collins,
yeah.
The quote unquote Collins-Faso amendment, that was part of the health care bill when that was alive, to shift the county share of Medicaid costs to the state. The governor got incredibly upset about that, and that turned into a battle between Collins and John Faso and the governor. The governor then, in I think it was June, announced that he would target certain congressional representatives, Republicans, through the state Democratic Committee's federal federal side campaign thing, such. Yeah. Right, right. So, yeah, no, the relationship isn't great.
No, really, really angry people on both sides. I wanted to ask you about something else that happened yesterday, and that is this, you know, the sexual harassment tsunami has sort of taken over Capitol Hill. Mm-hmm. And we saw what happened with Al Franken. And U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand actually said that Bill Clinton should have resigned over his affair with Monica Lewinsky. Right. What do you make of that, Matt?
Hindsight is 20/20. I mean, we're talking about something that took place
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I like how you gesture to me. It took that place back in the when you were young.
Yes. When I was
yes.
Young. But what do I make of that? It's a time when people would say things like that. I'm not saying that Kirsten Gillibrand doesn't actually believe that. Maybe it took her this long to come to grips with that. I don't know. I don't know everything about her thinking and making that statement. But certainly, this is a time when there is such a spotlight on these types of issues that more and more people are going to speak out about not only issues that are currently and continue to happen, but issues that happened in Al Franken's case in 2006, issues that happened 20 years ago with Monica Lewinsky, issues that happened with Roy Moore way back when. So, I mean, we're just going to continue to talk about it, I guess.
Politico, I think, made the point that some of these revelations are coming about because the people involved have less power than they used to have. Bill Clinton has less power. Harvey Weinstein has less power. Do you think that could be part of the calling out process no?
And I'm not familiar with Hollywood, but did Harvey Weinstein have less power before the allegations came out?
He did. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But perhaps. I mean, I am not in a position to get inside the head of someone who has been sexually harassed or sexually assaulted and figure out why at a certain point they would come out and say, you know, this happened to me. I mean, that's not my place to say when or someone should or shouldn't say that something happened. I mean, yeah, I mean, perhaps it makes it easier to when someone has less power, it's harder for them to go after you. It gives you more credibility. I don't know, but that's not for me to say when someone should speak out.
How about if we talk about George Maziarz?
Sure.
George Maziarz is a former state senator, and he has been indicted. Mm-hmm. Can you explain what the indictment is about and why a judge's ruling yesterday is so critical?
Well, this related back to election law violations back.
I don't even remember. Yeah, it was a couple years ago,
right?
At least.
The indictment first came out in, I believe it was the spring, and it was a case that involved current state senator Rob Ort as well. This related to when he was trying to become mayor of, I believe it was North Tonawanda, where he's from, and the Ort charges got tossed out. Maziarz's case continues, and that is it's going to be a wild beginning of the year next year in the state court system with all the different trials. Yeah. And George Maziarz is the one that probably will completely fly under the radar with all the federal corruption trials and retrials.
So what comes first? Joe Prococo?
Joe Prococo in January. And then we have, I think, Sheldon Silver in April. And then in June, we have the Elaine Calieros et al. Dean Skelos, I believe, are both in June, if I'm remembering correctly. And then we have George Maziarz. I think that case goes in March, if I'm remembering what I read correctly, after the judge yesterday decided.
It is going to go through. Right. So all of this is happening, though, at a time where every single race, every single seat here in Albany mm-hmm. is up for re-election. I mean, from governor to AG to controller, all the legislative seats, and, of course, the congressional seats as well. And we have this budget gap that we haven't mm-hmm. seen in a while, or the size of the budget gap is the kind that we haven't seen in a while. So it makes everything very complicated. What kind of session do you think we're going to have?
It's going to be a really, really interesting 2018. I mean, it's going to be, I think if we're talking just in terms of elections in general, I think the budget is going to have a pretty big impact. You know, how do lawmakers get away with later down the line having to raise taxes if that's what happens, or cut funding or what have you? The corruption trials most certainly will probably dog the governor all the way through to right. Election day, whether that lands, you know, if the trials are done by July, do people still think about them in September and November? It'll be brought up, but is it on voters' minds? We'll find out. But it's going to be a messy 2018.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Do you, how do you think the idea of having to run for re-election is sitting with Cuomo right now? I mean, he hasn't actually officially announced it, although...
Well, I mean, he said repeatedly that I have the best job in the world, and as long as the people have me, I'll continue to
so
be governor.
So you say that he's running.
Well, I mean, he has not said, I am not running. So, I mean, he's made every indication that he's going to continue to run. So I'll take him at his word. I have no reason to believe otherwise.
Okay. There is going to be a lot of hemming and hawing from lawmakers, I would imagine, who want to bring home the bacon during an election year. Yeah. About cuts. And if the governor wants to keep things at 2%, like he has said, other things are going to have to get cut if we're going to, make sure that this $4.6 billion budget gap is filled, or 4.4, mm-hmm. whatever. And so there's going to be friction. There's going to be a lot of head-to-head combat, I think. So, oh well.
Where in the budget can you cut from? We look at some of the biggest expenses. Take education as an example. If you so much as move a dollar away from education,
wow.
Let alone you don't increase it by a billion or more, the outcry. I mean, remember a couple years ago when the governor tied education spending increases to the teacher evaluations.
Oh, yeah.
When it was, I'll give you a record increase
right.
if you agree to this, otherwise it'll be a smaller increase, and the teachers just went off.
I think that we have a sound effect that reflects what the teachers felt at that point. that's exactly the sound effect that I was hoping for, Tim. Thank you very much. Execution is everything. I want to thank you very much. Matt Hamilton is a reporter for the Times Union, and you can go to timesunion.com to read all of his stuff.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.